continue. Today is October 30th, the 10th of Cheshvan. It's cold outside, but it's warm here in the Novik's residence, domicile. We thank Kenya for opening up her home. Continuing in the book of Yonah, today what I really want to talk about is Yonah's tefillah, Yonah's prayer, which is an amazing thing to study. This is a truly inspiring sefer. It really it's unbelievably moving, so there's a number of things I want to get to today. Just some highlights from our last episode. Last time we spoke, there's a little bit of a halachic discussion. We got into the whole idea of drawing lots when there seems to be some divine indication that there's a guilty party on the boat. We spoke about two sources in the Sefer Hasidim. We spoke about how the people on the boat did want to bring Yonah back. You see that explicitly in the Psukim. They were not looking to throw him overboard, but it was not meant to be. Hashem does not allow them. They tried to get back to dry land, and it was not meant to be. What we see is they have their tafkid, they have their ultimate purpose. Basically, they were pagan, and then they realized, no, there's one God, and it's the God of this prophet who's on the boat with us. And they had fulfilled their job. Yonah has a more complex job, so their job is done. And Yonah, basically the message they get is, let go, you're done. And he has to be addressed otherwise, which is why we have the teaching of Chazal, that as they lowered, each time they lowered him into the water, the storm stopped, they brought him out. The storm started again. So let's continue. We're in the second parak of Sefer Yonah. We mentioned the parak begins, the second chapter begins, Vayiman Hashem Dog Gadol, and Hashem appointed or prepared a great fish, a big fish, Livloa es Yonah, to swallow Yonah. Vayihi Yonah bim Ehadog, Shlosha Yonah Mishlosha Lelos. And Yonah was in the inside, the innards of this fish, 3 days and 3 nights. Our Chachamim say that this fish was prepared from creation for this purpose. This great large fish, and some of them first may even try to suggest what sort of sea creature it may have been, but it was prepared from the 6 days of creation. In fact, it's interesting, if you look at the Ibn Ezra, for those who are not familiar, the Ibn Ezra is one of the great Rishonim who tends to take a pshat approach to Tanakh, whereas other Rishonim, other commentators, mix in Midrashim. The Ibn Ezra is pretty much on the extreme side of not mixing Medrash into the way he interprets Psukim. But people make a big mistake. It's not because he doubts the supernatural. That's a methodology in interpreting at what level Psukim should be interpreted, but where it's explicitly miraculous. So, for instance, the Ibn Ezra says here that no one can live in a fish like this. This is an open miracle, and that's the simple understanding of the Psukim. So this is a miraculous thing. There are many stories we're familiar with from Tanakh where the Midrashim tell us of miracles that were involved. Here it's explicit. Yonah survives in a fish for 3 days and three nights, and he's able to daven from there. This is an open miracle, or at least for the one who experienced it, and our Chachamim say it was prepared from the 6 days of creation. I want to mention a story that is recorded in the Gemara because it comes up in some of the commentaries, some to compare and some to contrast to Yonah's experience, but I want to mention it for reference. And sort of alluded to this in one of the earlier shiurim. The Gemara in Yevamos has the descriptions of halacha of God forbid, naguna. If a husband disappears and he can't be located, under what circumstances the wife can be allowed to remarry, and what circumstances she cannot. And the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph tells the following story. Tanya, we have a braisa. Amar Rabban Gamliel, the great Rabban Gamliel said, Pam achas hayisi mahalach besfina. I was once traveling on a boat. V'ra'isi svina achas shenishbara. And I saw another boat that was being torn asunder. It was breaking. V'hayisi mitzda'er al talmud chacham sheba. And I was pained, particularly over the fact that I knew that there was a great Talmud Chacham aboard that ship, Umano, and who was he? Rabbi Akiva. The great Rabbi Akiva, so Gamliel's on his boat, safe, and he sees this boat that's being wrecked at sea, and he feels terrible in general, and he feels bad for the great Rabbi Akiva who's on board. Uch, must be perishing. When I got back to dry land, he came in front of me and testified, or we got involved in a court case. Rabbi Akiva showed up. Interestingly, Rebbetzin Esther Farbstein, in her Sefer on the Holocaust, Beseit Aram, Hidden in Thunder, has a fascinating account of a man who thought his son had perished, and then gets a letter from a woman after the war who it was a testimony about her own status vis-a-vis Aguna, and it was written by his son, and that's how he discovered that his son was alive. So there were some instances of people's... he was a Rav in Mexico later. So we had that in the Gemara already. He's judging, and all of a sudden the person who he thought had perished comes before him, the great Rabbi Akiva. Amarti lo, I said to him, Bini, my son, Miha Elcha, who brought you up? Who got you out of the sea? Amali, he said to me, Daf shel svinim nizdamen li, a plank of wood from the boat came to my hand, and he held on to it, like something to float with. V'chol gal v'gal shabo alai, and every wave that came upon me, na'anesi lo roshi, I ducked my head to it. Every wave that came upon me, I lowered my head. Mikan amru chachamim, from here our sages say, im yavo rishoyim al adam, if evildoers will come and challenge a person, yinanea lo rosho, should duck his head, duck the waves. Amarti, said Rabbi Gamliel, I said, Ba'os HaShar at that time, Kama Gedolim Devri Chacham, Sh'amru Mayim She'esh Lahem Sof Muteres, Mayim She'en Lahem Sof Asur. He is applying it to the halachic principle there, which I mentioned. The halacha is that if, God forbid, a person perishes in a body of water where we can see the, all around it, we can see to the edges, then we know he perished. But if the water continues far out, even though it looks like the person drowned, he might not have, which is what happened there. He thought Rabbi Akiva had perished, and somehow, out of sight, he managed to survive. But the way Rabbi Akiva recounts it, he held on, and each wave that came, he bowed his head. And the sages said, you see from here that when Rishoyim rise up against a person, he should nod his head or bow his head. So the Maharsha is one of the great commentators in the back of the Gemara, in early Achron. Legend has it that he's named for his mother-in-law. Last name is Adels, and her name was Adel, and he was Adels Shmuel. His name was Shmuel Eliezer, and the last name is Adel, so because she supported him. So he was Adels Shmuel, that's the name on our show, but he's one of the great commentaries always used when we study Gemara. So he has a sefer explaining halachic sections of the Gemara, and also agadic sections of the Gemara. So in Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Gimel, he comments on that Gemara that I just told you, and he's really using it to explain a different Gemara, but he explains as follows. Yeshaya HaNavi says, V'harishoyim kayom nigrash, the evildoers are like the sea. How so? Mahayan, just like you see in the sea, Hagal HaRishon Omer, the first wave says, Ani Olo Meitzif Kol HaOlo, the first wave comes along, I'm going to overpower and drown the world. Kol HaOlam Kulo. He tries, and what happens? The wave crashes. And move on. Maybe something's got wet. But the Ein HaGal HaBeis Lomed Min HaRishon, the second gal doesn't learn from the first. The next wave also builds up. I'm going to sink the world. I'm going to drown the world. And if you wait it out, the second wave passes by too. Says the Marsha, Kach Paro, Nesgalgal Yisrael Vepilok. Paro rose up, Amalek rose up, Sichon rose up. Each enemy rises up and thinks they're going to sink the world and just ride the waves. The attitude of Klal Yisrael is to humble ourselves at times, but to stand firm. Rabbi Akiva saw the waves coming. He didn't panic. He ducked his head, and he waited out the waves, and they all went by, and he made it back to dry land. There's some allusion to this in Yonah's Tefillah. There's also a contrast to this in that, as we spoke about last time, Yonah thought that he had to perish. He didn't want to have what happened to Rabbi Akiva happen to him. He was afraid of that happening. That's why he went El Yarkasei Asfin. He went down to the bottom of the boat, afraid that if he stayed toward the top, Hashem might blow him back, you know, to shore, to dry land, and he wanted to perish. So if you look in the various commentaries, allusion to this Gemara comes up, and the message of it is worthy in its own right. So I just wanted to start the shir by quoting that. But what we have now is, so Yonah is swallowed by a dog, and he's there for 3 days and three nights. I mentioned last time the Abarbanel says it's not so hard for us to imagine that a person can exist underwater for 3 days and three nights. A baby in utero survives underwater for longer than that, and the Malbim takes it a step further and says it's more than just a comparison. Yonah is being reborn. Yonah is being recreated. In fact, it's interesting, in the Vilna Gaon's commentary, which I mentioned, the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Sefer Yonah is all the allusions. It's interpreting all of this as a remez, as an allusion to man's neshama, and he's ready to say, that's it, I'm ready to die without doing tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu summons him back. You can't run away, you have to do what you're summoned to do. The Vilna Gaon says that this being swallowed by the great fish is actually the grave.
Buhakever.
It's the grave.
Is there any significance in 3 days and three nights?
So that's what I was coming to. In the Vilna Gaon's level of commentary, our Chachamim say that the first 3 days, the Nifter is trying to get back to Olam Hazeh. He has a hard time parting with his bodily existence and comes to terms with it later. So that the first three days, there's like a struggle. There's a Yerushalmi. I even have it here.
Is that after the Kavura?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get too morbid here. We're going to make this more positive soon. But I do come prepared sometimes. A little bit. All right, whatever. But the Yerushalmi in Moed Katan says, Bar Kapara Omer, Ein Tokvo Shel Evel Alad Shloshim, the most intense period of Avel is the first 3 days. That's an halacha recorded in the Bavli also. And then Reb Abba, Breder of Papi, says, Kol Tzlos Yomin Nafsha Taisal Gufa. I don't get too into this, but the spirit hovers the first 3 days and has not yet separated. And the Vilna Gaon says that's the illusion of these first 3 days of that are singled out.
Wait, so I'm really confused about this, because the neshama understands that the goof is an impediment to it. So why would it hover over the goof? Wouldn't it be thrilled to like run to tachas kisei hakavod?
No, but it was with the goof for
so long.
You know, 80, 90 years. It's hard to just separate and go.
Yeah, the
attached though.
It was a strange shidduch, but they've been together for so long that they've gotten kind of used to each other. Hopefully the goof has gotten used to the neshama, but to some degree the neshama gets used to the goof. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Bracha says that a rasha separating the... separating the body and soul in a rasha is like pulling a thorn out of like a bowl of cotton or a bowl of wool, because they're very inseparable. By a tzaddik, it's like pulling a hair out of milk, because the person was never steeped in Olam Hazeh, and there's an easier separation. But nevertheless, there's been a... just the same way the body gets sanctified by serving the neshama, there is a shidduch here, there is a connection.
So does the soul mourn at all?
Yeah, the soul has this... In fact, that's really what Avelus is. It's sympathizing with the soul's experience. That's really what Avelus is supposed to be. And I just mentioned that because once we mentioned the 3 days, the Gaon's commentary came to my mind. And we can use this as an introduction to the tefillah we're about to see. If you look from Pasuk Beis through the end of the Perek, which is a parsha break, it's not just the end of the Perek in the way that those who publish the Bibles publish them, but if you look in a regular Tanakh, you see a Samach, which means our tradition is that that's a new paragraph. So from Pasuk Beis to the end of this section is Yonah's prayer, and we have to study it and analyze it carefully to figure out what he's saying. When you first look at it, it looks like it's repetitive. It looks like he's saying the same thing at least twice, or the same idea twice. And we're going to talk about how different Mefarshim take that. And in fact, let's do an overview right now. I'm torn as to whether I should share with you the Medrash on this first, Galit votes yes, so it is. We're going to look at the structure of the tefillah in a second, but there's an unbelievable medrash, and this is a lot for us to contemplate, and maybe you'll come back next week with more insights in this medrash. But if you look in the Yalkut Shimoni, which is a collection of medrashim on Tanakh, it tells us the behind the scenes of what really happened when Yonah was in the fish. And Baruch Hashem, we live in an age when there are great kids books, and you can learn medrash from the illustrations in the kids' books. There's some, I have in my mind, I don't even know what book it is, but a picture of this. Rabbi Meir Omer, Magalus Haisa Tluya B'Meyav Shaldag. There was a jewel, some kind of a gem, hanging in the innards of this fish. U'me'ira la'yona k'shemesh hazeh, Sheher b'gvura. It lit things up like the sun. It had a great chandelier. V'ra'a yona kol ma'sha b'yamu b'tahamos. And during these 3 days, I'm elaborating, it doesn't say those words, but Yonah saw everything that was in the seas and in the depths. Great secrets were revealed to him. And I'm a little all over the place here, but just to elaborate, Toba mentioned last time the Medrash. If you look at Pasuk Beis, it says, Vayispal Yonah el Hashem alakav mimei hadogah. And Yonah davened from the, I'm going to say kishkas, because I don't have a better translation of me'ay. Me'ayim just means the innards. From the ends of the dog. First he swallowed, but he's b'me'e ha-dog, and then he's b'me'e ha-dogah, which if you're careful in diktuk, one is lashon zachar and one is lashon akev, one is masculine and one is feminine. At a pshat level, the Ebenezer says it's not so bothersome. However, our chachamim say that he was initially in the zachar, in this one fish, and then he was cast out, spewed out, and swallowed by another. The Malbim actually says as follows. One of the things the Malbim set his life to do was to try to show people how comments that our sages made, you can actually learn from the text. Especially at a time when people doubted Torah Sheval Peh and other things. So the Malbim shows us Doga is a word that's used like for the species. Dog is when you're talking about a fish. That's something like in English. Sometimes you use the word fish and you mean the fish. And, so, you know, and sometimes you mean fish in general. Hope I made that clear. Sometimes you mean fish, and sometimes you mean fish. Sometimes you mean something specific, and sometimes you mean the species. Doga is used more for the species. So actually, if you study the way Chazal phrased it, what they said is, Yonah was initially in the Zohar, and he was having too good of a time. I mean, pardon me, I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek, but he was having too good of a time, and I'm going to read for you in the Medrash how good of a time he was having, and he didn't cry out to Hashem. So Hashem said, this is too comfortable. I'll send them over to the Nekeva, where there's these 365,000 eggs. It's going to be a little more crowded, a little more tzafuf, and when life gets a little more pressure, then people tend to cry out to Hashem the way they're supposed to. So what does that mean? What does this medrash mean? We'll come to it in a second, but the Malbim says, that's why, even if you'll say at a pshat level, dog means fish, and doga means fish kind, you know, like human and humanity, it still fits with the... He said that's exactly where Chazal were coming from. Of course, at a pshat level, it's not so bothersome. But doga means he was with many fish. Why was he with many fish? The answer is because he was in the cave where there was a lot, and it was more crowded. But the specifics of that story, of how he's thrown from one to the other... is in this medrash that I'm reading to you. So he had this illuminating jewel, and he's seeing everything. Amar le hadog li Yonah. So the fish says to Yonah, this is a conversation. I ata yodeyash sheyomi bo les achla toch pivshel of Yasan. I got some bad news. I know you're finding it very comfortable in this amphibious, this miraculous experience of being underwater. But did you know that today's my day to be swallowed by the Leviathan? Oh, that puts a damper on things. Amalo, he said to him, and me and Midrashim sound like fantastic stories. Every Midrash has a very specific and deep meaning that we have to try to unearth. But let's first see the words. Amalo, he said to the fish, Holy Cheni Etzla, bring me over to Leviathan. Vani Matil Osiva Oschami Piv, and I will save you and me from its mouth. He brought him to the Leviathan. Amar lo, so Yonah is now addressing the Leviathan. Bishvilcha yaradati leros es medurcha bayam. Because of you, I was brought here to see your Medorcha, your mother, your domicile in the sea. Velo od, and not only that, Ela Shani Asid Leired, Velitain Hebel Baroshcha, Velasos Uda Memchala Tzadikim. And guess what? I'm going to put a rope around your neck eventually and make a feast for the Tzadikim out of you. The Gemara says that in the Messianic time, the Tzadikim will eat the Leviathan, will eat the Leviosan. So let's, we have to try to figure out what he's saying. Okay, and Harayu Chosoma Shel Avram Avinu, Hibrit Labris Vera Levyasin Uvarach Milafay. He showed him that he had a bris mila, and the Levyasin ran away, gone. So now Yonah turns to the fish and says, Amela Anihi Tzalticha Mipusha Levyasin. I just did you a big one here. I just saved you from the Levyasin. Harayni Koma Shabiyam Batahomos. Show me all the wonders of the sea world. Probably means hidden things that we don't even know what they are. So now the Medrash goes on to say all the things that he showed him, and the foundations of the earth and the mountains and everything. It says Vehareyu Gehenim, and all the things he showed him are alluded to in Yonah's Tefillah that we're going to read according to the Medrash. So fine. V'haya Yonah Shlosh Yom Shlosh Leilos B'mehadog V'lo Hispalel. He was there 72 hours. He was there 3 days, and he didn't daven. So according to the Medrash, he's busy discovering the wonders of the underwater world, which again probably means even esoteric things that are beyond physical space. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Ani herchavti lo makom b'me'edog zocher, kidei shelo yitzar. I made a little comfortable for him so he wouldn't be pained. V'hu einu mispalel. He doesn't daven. Ani mazmin dogom u'bera shesa alofim revavos. I'm sorry, I said 365,000. This would be 365,000 times 10,000. Dogim ketanim kidei sheitzdar v'yispal lefana. I'll make it a little more uncomfortable, and he will daven.
But how could it be he's a nobi that he doesn't daven? I mean,
I would answer because he's learning. I would answer he was learning.
I think it's hard for us to, like, in other words, like, I would never imagine my husband not davening 3 times a day. Like, even if you're learning, or anybody, any of my boys, like, if they're learning.
First of all, I don't know if it means he didn't daven anything, but I think what it means.
But was there Shachas Mincha and Marav at this time?
At some level, I don't know if I think we're talking about tefillah of. We're talking about tefillah of Tzara. Oh. I would suggest.
Like, what's turning to Hashem?
What's happening is two different things. One is when the grandeur of Hashem is being revealed to you. That's more of what we call learning. Learning and davening are two opposite processes. Learning is where I'm taking in, I'm silent, and I'm taking in what Hashem is revealing of Himself to me. And davening is where I'm pouring out my heart to Hashem and partnering Him in my tzaras, bringing Him into my life. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos refers to davening as chayesha, as temporary. Davening is here. Hashem, you put me as a finite creature in Olam Hazeh with, my little challenges, and for me they're big though. And I make Hashem a partner. I have betachon. I need this. I need that. I have things I can't solve. Hashem, you'll help me. I believe you'll help me. So before I start my day, Hashem, I have this list of problems, and I know I can't do it without you. You're bringing Hashem into your little world. That's what davening is, and that's what we're supposed to do. But the Gemara refers to it as chayesha, it's temporary life. Torah learning is chayolam. Torah learning goes way beyond the confines of anything like that. So it's two opposite processes. It seems to me that what's happening is that Hashem is sparing Yonah, and on the one hand, making him a grander Navi. Yonah, you want to see more wonders? You want to see more of my... He's giving him this opportunity to see more. But then Hashem is also saying, but there was supposed to be a process from that. That wasn't just a free shear. That's supposed to, now I want something from you. So to me, it seems like, I haven't seen too much commentary in this Medrash, but it seems like what's happening is Hashem says, I want to give you more of an avuah, more of an insight into what I am and who I am, but then I want something from you. And you'll see the way the Medrash plays out. What did Yonah say at the beginning to the Leviathan? He said, not only that, I'm going to make a meal out of you, which is a way of saying, I'm going to bring Mashiach. That's what it's really saying. So listen to this. The Medrash continues, but make sure I get to the punchline here. B'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavel Tfilasin Shel Tzadikim. Hashem desires the prayers of Tzadikim. So what did he do? I'll read it to you, but I want to get to the punchline. Ba'osa Shah Zimein Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dogam U'Beres. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a fish that had its eggs. It was muberes v'amrlo dugal a dug. So now the female fish says to the male fish, ish navi shebemeyacha, shigrani akarish baruch hu levolo. The prophet that you got inside there, Hashem sent me to swallow him. Imata polto hare tov. If you spit him out, we can do this the easy way. Vimlav ani bolacha imo. And if you don't, I can swallow him the hard way, which includes you. How's that for a threat? Okay? And now the male fish says, how do I know if what you're saying is... Who knows? Who can confirm that what you're saying is true? That... she says back, the Leviathan. So they went to the Leviathan. Amr lo Daga, the female fish, said, Leviathan, Melech al kol dagei hayam, you're the king of all the sea creatures. Is it true, basically, that she was sent to swallow the Navi? Amr lo, hein. He said, yes, it's true. He confirmed what she said. Amr lo Daga, Leviathan, Emasai. So the male fish asks the Leviathan, when? Amr lo Bishalosh, as he gives him a particular time. Miad Polto of Losada. So he spit out Yonah, and the female fish swallowed Yonah. And it was very uncomfortable, it was very crowded. Miad Kiven Libo Betzfila. So he started davening. So we went from a learning experience to a davening experience. And it's fascinating. The Medrash has a whole long tefillah that he said, which is not what we have in the Psukim. Amri bon ha'olamim ona elach meruchacha v'ana mipanecha evrach Hashem. Where can I go from your spirit? How can I hide from your face? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. Those are psukim and tehillim. And then he continues, you're the king of all kings and the master of all masters. Your throne is in heaven. It's a whole fascinating tefillah, which maybe we'll have time to study more in depth. But look what the Medrash says. V'lo ne'ene, he was not answered. His tefillahs were not answered. Ad sheyotza davar zemi piv, until these words came from his mouth, and these words are actually the end of the prayer. If you look at Pasuk Yud, he says, "Asher nadarti ashalema," what I promised, I shall pay. So until these words came, "Asher nadarti," and the Medrash elaborates what it means. "Asher nadarti lahalos es levyasan v'laasos lefneim," to bring up the levyasan and serve it before them. Ashalem, and the last words of the tefillah in Pasuk Yud are Yeshuasa Hashem, salvation to Hashem. There's probably many deeper concepts in this medrash, but I believe at a basic level, what's happening is Hashem is giving Yonah a chance to see more of him. It's a learning experience, but then he said, but I want tefillah also, and you're not, you didn't come from that tefillah to prayer, so we're going to make things a little more uncomfortable. We're going to make it a tzara, a hardship, and what tends to make people daven when they're in a hardship, so he's thrown over to the other fish. And Yonah does daven, Hashem, please save me, etc. Not good enough, says Hashem. I gave you that new insight. I brought you to a new level of revelation. And also, you've run away from me the first time. I need full commitment. What did you just say to Leviathan before? You made a proud statement. You said you're gonna bring Mashiach. I believe what Hashem is saying is I need a mini Mashiach from you. I need you to say, from this, not only am I going to do what Hashem said, I'm going to do my full shlichus. Yeshua Sala Hashem. Obviously, it doesn't mean he brought the full redemption, but when a person is an Ace Tzara and Hashem spares him, and he gives him new insight, and now he wants him to bounce back and do it more in Davin, now I don't want you just to Davin, I want you to commit that your shlichus in the world will be carried out. That's how I would take generally what happens in this fuller story that the Medrash gives us of Yonah's experience. So however you take it, if you look at the tefillah, which maybe some of it we'll have to get to next week, but it says that he davened to Hashem from the Me'e Hadogo. So let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer, and he said, Karasi, I called, Mitzara li, from a tzara, a hardship to me, El Hashem, to Hashem, Vaya'aneni. And he answered me. Mibetan Sha'ol, from the stomach of the depths of the abyss. Shivati, I supplicated, I cried out to Hashem. Shamata Koli, you heard my voice, you listened to my voice. Then the next pasuk refers to my being cast into the depths of the sea. And the next pasuk says, and I thought it was hopeless, but I'm going to see you again, Hashem. Pasuk Vav sounds like a repetition of Pasuk Dalet. I was surrounded by the water. It was, you know, it was overpowering me. Actually, the way most translate that pasuk, there was seaweed all over me. I was brought down to the bottoms of the mountains. But you brought me up, Hashem. You'll save me. And then pasuk ches again is general. So there's an opening pasuk which is phrased in past tense. You answered me. Then we have twice a reference to I'm thrown into the water. It seems hopeless, but it'll be okay. I'm surrounded by water, but it'll be okay. I'm simplifying and summarizing, but we have to look at the structure. What is happening in Yonah's tefillah? So if you look at the various mefarshim, they say it's referring to different episodes. So let me start with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, and the Abar Ben Al quotes this as well, the Ibn Ezra says that there were mefarshim, he's referring to early commentators in his day, I'm looking at the Ibn Ezra and Pasuk Beis. Hamafarshim ratzu lefarish chiddush. The commentators wanted to say a novel concept here. Vehotziu hakosuv mipshuto. And in order to do that, they brought the pasuk out of its plain meaning. And what is this chiddush? What is this novel idea they wanted to say? Ki Yonah lo hispalal rak acharet soso el yabasha. Whoa. That Yonah only davened after he got back to dry land. And we're not going to accept this job, so just okay. Giving that away. But why? Ba'avur shematu mime'e v'lo omer bime'e. How did the commentators feel they could say this? Because in Pasuk Aleph it says he was bime'e hadog. He was in the kishkas of the fish. But the next Pasuk says mime'e, from. All right, well, in English we say you daven from.
Well, sure. He was also in one and from another. Right?
Right, but what's really driving them, says the Ibn Ezra, and this is very clear, is because it appears in past tense. Pasuk Gimel is, I cried out to you, and you answered me. From the depths I supplicated, and you heard my voice. Why is it past tense? I thought we're talking about, I mean, I just read you the Medrash. He was suddenly in a difficult situation, and he cries out. Why would he be saying, you answered me? So the Ibn Ezra quotes Mufarshim commentators who wanted to say this tefillah actually happens later, and you have to read the word mim'e, a little bit of a stretch, and stretch the meaning of the psukim from what they sound like, and say that this was all later. The Ibn Ezra says, not true. It's not correct. And his answer is prayer that is prophetic. When you find nevuah is above time. Nevuah is not, you know, me standing in shul and saying, Hashem, please, I have this coming up, can you help me? Nevu is the Navi experiencing Hashem, and he says, if you look at numerous prayers of Nevi'im, are phrased in the past tense, even when it didn't happen yet, for they're so confident in the Hashem sending the resolution that they will refer to it in past tense. You do find in some of the Shiras and things, future and past, there's a mixing, and Nevu is above time. Nevu is, it's something else. So the Ibn Ezra said, the fact that you find that Yonah is saying, I cried out and you answered me, even though it hasn't happened yet, that does not mean you should change the chronology of what's happening here, or stretch the pshat to think that this tefillah happened when he got back to dry land. It happened from Mima Ehadaga. He's crawling out from the innards of the fish, and just, it's a prophetic prayer, so it sounds the way it does. Interestingly, the Abar Ben El agrees with the Ibn Ezra and says, yeah, we should not assume it happened later. That's not the way to interpret this. He says, but you don't even have to, I'll use the yeshivish expression, medafnish unkum into them. You don't even have to come on to that, which is a Yiddish way of saying you don't even need to go to that extent to come up with a valid answer. The Abar Ben El says, Yonah's reflecting on the past first. Who is Yonah? We learned about this in our first year. Yonah is the child who Eliyahu revived. He's been in tzaras before. There's no bigger tzar than being dead. He's been in trouble before. What he's saying is, Hashem, in the past when I've been in the most dire situations, you answered my tefillah. I'm in one again. Can you please save me? So the Abar Ben El, I think, is a very compelling shot. Mm-hmm. He says, Karasi mitzarli, I've cried out when I've been in tzar. He's not referring to the current one. El Hashem bayaneni. And he's answered me. Beten Sheol, from the, you know, like the belly of the grave. He's talking about previously. Shivati akara shamata koli, and you listen to my voice. Hashem, you've answered me in the past, and I'm asking you to answer me again. He is talking about the past. He's not talking about the future as the past. He's talking about the past as the past, which is a very nice pshat. That's what the Abar Ben El says. The Malbim says that this tefillah can be divided into three sections. He, for whatever reason, doesn't go there. The Malbim always read the Abarbanel. He, for whatever reason, doesn't, as far as I saw, doesn't mention him referring to his early life. But he says as follows. Tefillah zu nechlekes l'shlosha chalokim. This prayer can be divided, should be divided into three sections. Chelok Aleph, Yisaper eis hashlichuhu layam. The time when they threw him into the sea. She'oz his yayesh menachayim. What was Yonah thinking when the sailors are throwing him overboard? He gave up on life. He thought he was going to die, which, as we saw, some commentators understood that he thought that's what he was supposed to do. Forfeit his life to save the Jewish people.
But that's not what Hashem told him to do.
Right. Which was his error. But some would interpret that he thought this is an asayon where I'm supposed to martyr myself for Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak Avinu was supposed to martyr, so there Hashem told him to do it. And ultimately it didn't happen, but Yonah thought that was his Nisayon. It ended up being an error, but that's what he thought. Or alternatively, he thought he was challenging Hashem, but he, you know, maybe thought it was an Aveira Lishma, which is a concept in Hasidus. Anyway, just as an aside of an aside, because I'm rambling today, we mentioned that the Malbim's the standard approach to the Book of Yonah, you know, why did Yonah do this, why did he run away? The standard approach is because the Ninveh is going to do tshuva, and the Jewish people are stubborn and don't do tshuva, and that looks very bad, so he didn't want to have them do tshuva. The Malbim takes a step further, as I spoke about, and says, Ninveh is the capital of Ashur, and Hashem wants Ashur to be good and look good, so they'll have the schus to be able to be the ones who will be a big problem for Klal Yisrael, and harm Klal Yisrael, and that's what he doesn't want to have a part in. What's a little bit difficult with that latter way of taking it is, then what's the resolution? If you look at the end, and maybe we'll come back to this when we get to the end of the Sefer. The end of the Sefer sounds like Hashem's giving Yonah Musar and saying, look, Ninveh's got to do tshuva. You don't find Hashem saying, and don't worry about Klal Yisrael, don't worry about all that. Like, if that was the issue, it's not so clear what the resolution is, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So we go back. It says the Malbim, the first section is when he's thrown overboard, that's it. This is the greatest tragedy. My life is ending. And then all of a sudden he's saved. Suddenly he finds himself in the safety of this miraculous fish. That's number one. I'll read you the way he puts it. Alo kishabola hadog v'nishar chai b'meyev rakiyas nosis imonei supela v'shachoyo yichi. Imagine that, when you thought that's it, my life is meant to end here, and then all of a sudden a miracle happens and I'm saved. That's number one, which in and of itself would be enough to call out to Hashem over. Chelek Bey is the next thing, is Acha Shepolto Hadog. When the first fish spit him out, which in that first fish, that was a great salvation. He's, according to the Medrash, things are being revealed to him. He's seeing all the wonders of Hashem's world that nobody ever saw, could you imagine? But then all of a sudden that fish spits him out. Shenish Lach Shainis Be'imke Tahom Rabbi. He's thrown again into the. So his Yaya Shainis. Oh, this is what I was afraid of. So, you know, I got a 3-day delay, but now he's back in trouble. Ukashibol also a dog or Hashem's kichayu, when he swallowed the second time, oh, saved again. Hashem saved me twice. This is unbelievable. But the second salvation was a little less comfortable. Chelo Gimel's ace heitzalo b'me'ei ha'do'ogo, when it was difficult, it was dire for him in the innards of the doga. She'oz kibel al atzmo l'shmoa b'kol Hashem. That's when he accepted it upon himself. Because again, how does the prayer climax? Asher nadarti ashalema. What I promised, I will fulfill. So it's interesting. You know, we always say, oh, Hashem, if you'd reveal yourself to me and, you know, show me one, show me miracles, I would serve you. I think part of the Musar here, I think what the Torah is trying to teach us is, on the one hand, Yonah was shown great things. I'm sure that deepened and made stronger his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what does it mean when, in the Medrash, when Hashem says, but he's there 3 days and he's not crying out to me? It seems like sometimes the commitment comes when the screws are turned, when it's more dire.
But
it's from the harder circumstance sometimes that that yield. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch has a line that I often quote in Parshas Hazinu. He said something like, in austerity, the Jewish people has shown beautifully, this is not exact words, but has shown beautifully, but it has rarely been able to weather good fortune. And when things were hard, it's amazing what Klal Yisrael will do, but when things are comfortable, we're not as successful in delivering, even in a ruchnia sense. Yeah?
Rabbi Steinberg, he went even further, he went beyond, because he's trying now to bring Mashiach.
Right.
So it's beyond, it's like over and above.
Right. It's probably a combination of the two, the positive experience, but then Hashem says, let me hear real tefillah, let me hear heartfelt tefillah when it becomes difficult again. It's almost like Yonah's extremes. I'm meant to perish. No, I'm meant to experience the wonders of Hashem's world. Oh no, perish again. Oh no, saved again. And Hashem says, no, it's in the middle. I want it to be difficult, and I want you to cry out to me, and I want you to commit to be the fullest you can be, which is very hard for him, obviously. Yonah ran away from all of this. And he finally says, Asher nadarti ashalem, I'm going to carry out my purpose in life. In the Gaon's Remez, way of Tev, again, Remez means illusion. The Gaon is a commentary on Sefer Yonah, which is all Masim Tovim. So, I'm reading and I'm talking at the same time, which is all illusion. So in Pasuk Ches, he says, "Besatef alai nafshi," when I feel like I'm fainting, "Es Hashem zacharti," I will remember Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says that sometimes a person he hasn't made the full commitment. I can't really do what you're asking of me, but can I talk about some of my good? Can I bring out some of my resume here? So what happens is that the neshama achshav maskel aska miktsas ma'asim tovim she'asa kodem moso she'af al pi she'ein tshuvasu mekubelas kol kach. He's not really doing a full tshuva. It's not a full tshuva, but look, Hashem, this was a nice thing, and that was a nice thing, and this was a nice thing, and what do you see happening in these psukim? Hashem says, yeah, those are nice. That's good. Yeah. Not going to clinch it here. You have a shlichus, and you're going to carry out your full shlichus. So finally, in the final pasuk, when he says, "Asher nadarti ashalema," okay, Hashem, I get it. You know, you don't want A minus. You want full carrying out of the shlichus. What is it? What's pasuk gedalah? Vayomer Hashem ladog. Hashem said or commanded to the dog. Vayakeis Yonah haliyabasha. All right, we're on. We're doing this. That's really what's happening in this tefillah. Mirat Hashem, next time I'll try to go through the psukim inside and show how they line up with these phases of what Yonah is experiencing. But basically what the Malbim is saying, first he asks that as a question. Pasuk Dalet refers to him being thrown into the sea and thinking it's over, and he's spared. And then Pasuk Vav does the same thing. I'm surrounded by water, it's hopeless. And in Pasuk Zion, he's spared. So what is the Malbim saying? It's a very compelling explanation. It's talking about the two different times. The first time he was thrown into the sea and he's spared, but he's saved by the fish, and then the fish spits him out and he thinks it's over again. So that's why you have it like repeated. It's not repeating the same thing again. It's Yonah's experience. And according to the Malbim, that opening pasuk was just an introduction. Again, I said to me, it seems like the Abar Ben El's pshat is a beautiful pshat. He's not talking about it now. He's talking about, Hashem, I know you saved me in the past. Save me again. And the ultimate message is, I'll save you, but I need you to commit to do your shlichus 100%. Which is a lesson for all of us. May we all be zochah to carry out our shlichus in life 100% and bring many Mashiachs until we bring the grand Mashiach.
Amen. Okay.